Know your constituency. The RTE Radio 1 Guide to General Election 2024.
Hello and welcome to Know Your Constituency. This is the RTE Radio 1 podcast where we're profiling all 43 Dáil constituencies over 43 separate episodes, giving you the essential stats on each one, the seats, the seat holders, the soon-to-be former seat holders and all the background and the colour that we find in between. I'm Claire Byrne. I'm joined once again by RTE Radio's Barry Lenehan. He's here for all 43 episodes, and also with us is Gary Murphy, Professor of Politics at Dublin City University. Good to be back with you in the podcast studio again. Now, we are going to look at Dublin North West this time. And Barry, you give us the essentials here now, the seats and the seat holders.
Yes, three seats up here, Claire. Two of the current TDs are contesting once again. They are Sinn Féin's Desi Ellis and Fianna Fáil's Paul McAuliffe, the former co-leader of the Social Democrats, Roisin Shorthall, standing aside for this contest.
Okay, so we'll go through all of the runners and riders now in a minute. But Gary, the changes in this one from the boundary review from last year.
Yeah, they're relatively minor enough, clear. We should have a look at the hinterland, really. So basically, we're looking at Whitehall, Ballymun, Beaumont, Finglas as the heart of this particular constituency. It's the one I work in Dublin City University is based in this constituency. We have a debate with the candidates every general election, and this year will be no different. Slight changes. Beaumont has been brought into the constituency from Dublin Bay North, and a little bit out towards Blanchardstown and Abbottstown has been moved into Dublin West. Some parts around the airport have gone to Fingal West, but not a huge amount of change. Geographically, it's one of the smaller constituencies, and of course, it's a three-seater, so the need for first preferences is even more important here, where you need over 25% of the vote to get a seat at the final shake-up.
Big mountain to climb from Indeed. The get-go. Right, so the issues then, Gary, in this constituency, what do you think they are?
Well, like many of the Dublin constituencies, Claire, the local and the national sort of merge together. But there has been a lot of anti-immigration dissatisfaction, I suppose, around this particular constituency. People in the areas of Ballymun and Finglas feeling that the state has somewhat left them behind. The statistics, for instance, for third level entry, even though there's a university on its doorstep, are amongst the lowest, particularly in the capital. Big issue with waiting lists for GPs. So there's a big health issue here. This is something the former TD for the area, Roisin Shorthall, had been campaigning on for many years, both when she was in Labour and then as leader of the Social Democrats. And like all across the capital, housing remains a significant issue. And you have people living in with their parents for far longer than they should be, and
all
that
right.
has become an issue.
And we have some really intriguing characters in this lineup, which we're going to go through with Barry. But we have to remind us all, and we do this in every episode, this conversation is based on what we know at this time, at the time of recording, because candidate nominations haven't closed as we're speaking now. That means the campaign proper hasn't started yet, so Barry's going to update us later with any news once that happens. But for now, Barry, let's talk about the runners and riders in Dublin North West. Where do you want to start with this one?
Well, one significant non-runner, first of all, and that's Roisin Shorthall, elected in every election here since 1992 up until this one, for first the Labour Party and then the Social Democrats, the party which she co-founded. So Roisin Shorthall stepping aside at this a major, major contest for the Social Democrats, needing to hold a seat in the area, essentially, where the party was founded. Can they do it? Well, Roisin Shorthall is putting up Rory Hearn in her stead. Of course, you might recall he was an unsuccessful candidate in the 2024 European elections for the Midlands North West constituency, so a different part of the country entirely to Ballymun, Finglas and Whitehall and so on. He also has run unsuccessfully in the Shannon election once again. Now, Roisin Shorthall and the Social Democrats are pouring resources into this. They've been out of doors with Rory Hearn since August, giving literature and so on, and introducing him to people who may have voted for Roisin Shorthall Shortall around the Whitehall area where she has resided for the last 40 years. They really are bombarding, trying to get his name out there. They feel he does have a recognisable name from his commentary on the housing crisis and the significance of the housing crisis in this constituency as well. So they're hopeful of retaining that seat. But again, the lack of incumbency, it's always a challenge, Gary, isn't it?
It is. He does have a high profile. Many of the listeners will know he wrote a very well-received book called Gaffes a few years ago with some solutions for the housing crisis. Now, those solutions, it must be said, according to Rory, are very much state-led. State bank, state building company and the like. And not everybody, of course, agrees with that position. They were very disappointed, the Social Democrats, with how he eventually performed in Midlands Northwest. I think they thought he would do a lot better. He's an academic based in Maynooth, and maybe they thought that Maynooth base would work better for him, but like such a gargantuan constituency.
Well, where does he live? Does he live in this constituency?
I think he lives in Drumcondra. I think he's in the constituency right next door. So he's local Dublin. And he's a very effective campaigner. And I think the Social Democrats will probably use him nationally on debates and maybe programmes like your own, Claire. I think there's a good chance that he is not simply... certainly Northwest need to hold it, Barry, don't they?
Yeah, it's key for them to hold it, especially with the party leader under a degree of pressure in Cork Southwest. But also the Social Democrats would point that they took gains here or wins here in the local elections with Aisling Silk in Whitehall and then Mary Callaghan and Ballymun Finglas, the local electoral area, which makes up 2/3 of this constituency. So they feel on track at the moment.
And Paul McAuliffe, everything's going on black here. Paul McAuliffe is the one for Fianna Fáil to get his seat back.
The only candidate for Fianna Fáil in what was once a party stronghold. Paul McAuliffe, Fianna Fáil did do well here in the local elections. They took around 20% of Ballymun Finglas and also took a seat at the end of Artane Whitehall where McAuliffe is based. Fianna Fáil figures feel he's relatively comfortable, that he's a strong work ethic on the ground. That's a view shared by apparatchiks from other parties. But Paul McAuliffe's task could be made a bit harder by Fine Gael with the intended entry into this contest of Fine Gael's Noel Rock, whom McAuliffe just saw off at the last election.
All right, so that'll be more evidence. And we're going to see this everywhere now when it comes down to brass tacks. The coalition, you know, united for the last 4 years. We'll start to turn on each other in battles like this, right?
This is a barren area for Fine Gael. They know TD here from 1992 to 2016. Indeed, in 2011, it was the only constituency that didn't return a Fine Gael TD when everything went so right. In the last two local elections, the lowest vote for Fine Gael was in Ballymun Finglas. And yet, they feel they have a chance here. They've extensively polled this constituency, which puts them in the shake-up for a seat if they could get Noel Rock on the ticket. But at the time of recording, he hasn't officially declared, but it is a very sensitive stage of negotiations. They also can't find, I think, anyone else either. They have approached others who don't want to run. So it is a tricky one for
them. That's interesting in itself.
That's the key, Claire. It's either Rock or no hope, I would say. Rock.
There's not another Fine Gael name mentioned.
I don't particularly think it is. As Barry said, it has been a wasteland for them. And now Rock, remember, won a seat in 2016 and nominated Enda Kenny for Taoiseach in 2016. And he's an effective performer.
But he's been out of the game for the last 4 years. Perhaps someone would argue within the party if he was put forward to the Shannon or was given more of a boost for that it would have given him the platform. It's a very, very tall task to be parachuted in here.
He's got a different life now in the corporate world, hasn't he? I mean,
If he does run and is in the contest, it's a real sign of the Harris band.
He's an old student of mine with a deep interest in politics, and I wouldn't look... For Noel and for Fine Gael, he gives them a chance, and if they don't have him, I don't think they have any chance.
Well, Rock pipped McAuliffe initially in 16. McAuliffe beat him with a degree of comfort in 2020, so the odds would still be on McAuliffe.
Well, their first preference votes were close enough, but McAuliffe was much more transfer friendly, and that wasn't a surprise in 2020. And
look, when it comes down to it, because you know the constituency so well, Gary, you said you have them all in to DCU for a debate. Do you think there's a seat here for Fine Gael?
I think on a really good day, if there is a Harris Hop, Noel would have a chance. But
it's about the individual rather than the party in
this particular case. But I'm not convinced. I think there is a great chance here for a gain for the far left, the hard left, in Conor Reddy, the People Before Profit, Kevin. Now, Barry will give us more detail on him, but he is a PhD student in Trinity, who's strong activist on the Israel-Palestine question, strong activist on things like student fees, and polled relatively well in the 2020 election. He only got like 1,200 votes, but he picked up a lot of transfers on the vote left, transfer left.
Yeah, well, this was Desi Ellis, the other candidate that polled topper the last time, with a colossal 44.4% of the vote. Desi Ellis, around a long time, involved at the highest levels in the Republican movement going back decades, but he had a colossal transfer to Conor Reddy, who was basically dragged into the contest off the back of almost 2,500 votes from Desi Ellis, and just narrowly missed out by 1,000 votes to Paul McAuliffe when all was said and done. Without that foothold from Ellis, though, it might be hard to see him in the final shake-up, I would say. Desi Ellis is joined on this occasion by a running mate on the ticket, which he didn't have last time.
This is Kathleen Kearney Bowd.
She ran in 2016 as a running mate for Desi Ellis without much of a show, but then for reasons which are still unclear, and as it turned out, didn't work out for the party, she didn't run in 2020, so they ran Desi as a single candidate, and he, as Barry said, this colossal vote, 14,000 votes, when the quota was only just over 8,000 votes, so he nearly had two quotas. And I'm not convinced that the Sinn Féin transfer that they will transfer strongly. Desi will transfer strongly to Kathleen Kearney.
I think some of the tittle tattle and the polling in this constituency shows Reddy maybe off the pace for a seat. And that the nearest challenger may perhaps be the independent based in Ballymun Finglas, Gavin Pepper.
Yeah, right. So that's the other end of the sort of ideological spectrum. Pepper has come to sort of a certain local notice and some national notice with his views, and of course he was elected at the local elections and has proved somewhat of a controversial figure on the council. But there is significant dissatisfaction in the constituency with the way the government has handled the whole immigration issue, and if he can get a good first preference vote, I think we would be foolish to write off his chances.
Yes, in the local elections he got 1,126 first preferences, and then that was added to 930 first preferences for Stephen Redmond of the National Party, so there is a clump of around 2,000 you would expect from a standing start for Gavin Pepper to get a bit of a toe into this contest. And now he is under investigation for alleged breaches of ethics law at the moment, after allegedly making a threatening call to the aforementioned Conor Reddy of the People Before Profit. So there's that dynamic as well.
Do you have Conor Reddy's first preferences in the local elections, just so we can see the comparisons between him and Gavin Pepper?
Reddy outpolled Gavin Pepper on first preferences by one percentage point, maybe just over 100 votes. But as I said, you add in Stephen Redmond's vote of the National Party, which transferred heavily to Gavin Pepper, which saw him comfortably elected. Therefore, you could see the clump that is there, perhaps for Pepper to get involved.
I see what you're getting at. It's now, really the combined vote.
The combined vote. And then I have detected a nervousness. There is a sense of nervousness, perhaps within Sinn Féin, around Gavin Pepper's presence on the ticket. Might that harm Desi Ellis in his Finglas heartland? And talking to others who've been on the doors of this constituency, in a general sense, given some of the candidates involved, they say perhaps that there's a febrile atmosphere or a nervousness around campaigning in certain parts of the constituency at the moment, and some candidates, some parties expressing that view to me.
And this will be one of those constituencies where I think turnout might be important. Clear, there was only 59% of the valid poll in 2020, so some 10% less than the sort of the national average. And I think, as I've said in a number of these podcasts, we have to be careful about extrapolating local election results to general election results. Everyone points to Sinn Féin in, of course, 2019, their disaster, and then their great recovery in the 2020 general election. It's a guide, but it's no more than that. And this is an interesting constituency, because I do think we have strong challenges from the sort of the hard left and the far right.
But on Pepper, if you see him getting involved, obviously he has a large social media presence. Is that tapping into certain parts of the constituency? He may not have the mechanics on the ground of the Social Democrats, Sinn Féin, Fianna Fáil. So if he's getting a toe into this contest or is increasing his vote off the back of, in particular, this social media presence, then that would be a rather interesting thing to look out for, even if he doesn't get a seat.
All right, let's go to crystal ball time. And it really is crystal ball time because we're looking well into the future before the campaign proper starts. So what are the possible outcomes in this one? Gary, to kick us off on this one.
Well, I think if the Republican royalty of Desi Ellis doesn't get a seat, it'll presage a very bad day for Sinn Féin. I think Desi Ellis will hold his seat. I think Paul McAuliffe will hold his seat. And I think Rory Hearn has a good chance, but is not a guarantee to win the seat for the Social Democrats. I expect a big independent vote. Whether it translates to left or right remains to be seen. And I think Reddy in particular and PBP are big on his chances, notwithstanding the polling numbers Barry gave us. So, all to play for.
Do we have consensus
then
on
Desi
Ellis and Paul McAuliffe?
I think for all our gymnastics, our verbal gymnastics over the past few minutes, when all is said and done, I think you would look at Ellis, Hearn, McAuliffe. Obviously, if Fine Gael have an entry into this race, it might shake things up, but I don't think it would shake it up enough to change the essential status quo of one Sinn Féin, one Social Democrat and one Fianna Fáil.
And perhaps finally, Clare, we haven't mentioned the Labour Party at all, and it just goes to show in this particular constituency where they took two seats in 2011, Roisin Shorthall and John Lyons. And I'm not sure who they haven't picked a candidate yet, Barry, but I
last
think
time they ran Andrew Montague,
but he
and
got,
it didn't go so well, 2.6%.
He got only 850 votes or so, and I think it shows the difficulty the party is facing nationally.
All right, well, thanks for braving it and calling it. We're going to play all of these back to you after the election, by the way. Just you're going to
not on air though.
No, definitely.
A dark room or a bar or somewhere.
We'll make a special podcast where we make you sit through the predictions when we have the results. That would be a really fun one to do. Now we're going to leave it there for this one. Barry, you're going to be back with us for an update after the nominations close. Our thanks to Cormac Burke for all of his research. Dave Gibson was on sound. Our producer was Alistair McConnell. Remember to tune in to RT Radio 1 on Results Weekend and across RTE Television and of course all our digital platforms for full coverage of all 43 constituencies.
Know your constituency. The RTE Radio 1 Guide to General Election 2024.